Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Jeff Pond, Chief Human Capital Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. Also joining us in our conversation is Sally Thomas, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Jeff, given the evolution of global energy markets, how do you envision DOE's human capital needs evolving in, say, the next 3 to 5 years? And how do you envision your human resources office will need to evolve to support this change?
I think our challenge is to get out of transactional administration and go towards more strategic. It's really working with the businesses directly instead of just processing the blue paper or the 52s and the 50s. It's HR speak for the process paper. We really need to get in front of that, which is taking a look at what is the mission of an organization. How are they meeting the challenges of the next 1, 3, 5 years? What are their areas of growth or decline? How are you going to identify the right vocations within that skill set in the next 1, 3, and 5 years? That should all be teed up by a human capital professional. How are we going to be identifying that from a workforce planning standpoint, and what are the resources that we have? It makes it much clearer as a role to serve as opposed to processing the paper on who just came on board, how we're recruiting. Did you position classify? It's the operations elements that's our bread and butter right now. Hopefully our bread and butter will be a business partner that identifies how do you design an organization, what are your chief strategies for your learning, your recruitment, and your retention.
Jeff, you chair the Subcommittee on Human Resources Workforce of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council. Can you tell us a bit about the subcommittee role and responsibilities as well as its initiatives underway to address the federal workforce challenges?
Yes, as the subcommittee chair, it's an interesting group to chair because human resources people working on human resources people is really the subcommittee. So it's like the consultant taking the consultant's advice. We try to make sure we identify what is currently available in terms of competencies. OPM, Office Personnel Management, had all of the agencies actually take a competency assessment across agencies. So we really know what's there right now, but really it's how do you get to the strategic role? What is the competency of the future? And we're identifying that with the Office Personnel Management. And then we're going to be migrating our whole entire population to that plan. It's identifying what skills they don't have right now and making sure that there's a roadmap for getting them there or hiring people to supplement that. So that's really the big thrust of the Human Capital Workforce Subcommittee. We're also doing innovative efforts such as inviting public and private people that are of note to share best practices with. We're taking field trips to some of our local private industry counterparts that are really deep into human resources information technology that actually have automated systems. So we know, you know, when we get to the other side, this is how it's going to look, and it's not going to be all you know, sugar and honey. It's warts and all, and this is what they had to do. So there's a logical progression to getting us to a human capital type of skill, and I think we have a long ways to go, but we're making sure that we know what the best practices are. So we're setting the bar, we know where we are, and we're coming up with the strategies to close the gaps.
Now, Jeff, you're a previous recipient of the Federal 100 Award, which goes to individuals who have made a difference in government technology in any given year. Well, first of all, congratulations on receiving such a significant award. But given such a perspective, could you tell us what emerging technologies you see that hold the most promise for improving the federal management of human resources?
I think before we get to getting to a digital economy for HR, we really need to know what it is that we're trying to answer. Why do we want to do things? I always ask the first question, why do you do the things that you do, to my managers? And they go through the programmatic accomplishments. I went to this meeting, you know, had this conversation. I said, but why do you do that? And the question on why do you want to utilize technology in human resources is pretty simple. It's we need to be much more effective in delivering the data so we have knowledge to behave to perform, and have the performance, quite simply. And that's what technology does. In our generation, I think what's different about any other generation that has preceded us are two things. One is the way in which we work as teams and technology. And those are the two enablers that have shaped the way in which we work right now. For the federal government to be slow on adapting technologies creates completely complex systems. If you take a look at the proliferation of technology, as a government, we actually bought on the personal computer basis. Then the LANs, or the local area networks, and then the WANs and all so on and so forth. And we collected all those things up. And guess what? It didn't all connect together. Surprisingly so. Why? It's because it was locally brought up. Same with human resources. A lot of our practices were brought up in a localized environment. And what we're trying to do is come up with standardization and all those things. And at the same time, institute technology. Technology can be an enabler for standardizing these different types of practices so that there's an employee self-service, management self-service, and reporting self-service. It's frustrating as a citizen when you can't look up your tax returns for the last seven or eight, 9 years, but they're working on that. You can actually file your taxes now to the IRS via email. Wouldn't it be nice if we can actually submit our resumes online? Yes, we can now. So we've made some pretty significant strides in adapting towards technology, but we're at the tip of the iceberg in terms of how we utilize technology in the management of human capital.
Jeff, you've obviously had a very successful career within the public service, and you have a tremendous amount of passion for the job that you have over at DOE. I'm curious, what advice would you give to a person who perhaps is thinking about a career in public service?
I came here to serve the federal government, and I think for my career counterparts, there's no higher calling than serving as a civil servant. We sometimes recognize the good men and women of our military, but from a management standpoint, from the bread and butter of how our government works, the executive branch civil service is where it all meets. And I think it's an honor to work with our career civil service people and encourage at every single conversation that I have with our young people that federal service is not something that should be considered. It should be something that you do in your life. I encourage the young people to make sure that they're not only on the job market, but they're citizens. To be a citizen of the United States, in my family history, it's being a citizen of choice. We came to this nation for generations back, but it's just like every other story that we hear. We come here in search of hope, of liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think there's no other higher calling than actually serving that institution for some time in your lifetime, maybe as a whole entire career, maybe as 2 or 3 years. But that's the draw there. You're doing good for the rest of your whole entire citizenship. And that's sometimes a very gulp in the back of your throat and saying, gosh, I'm glad I'm serving my time here in that capacity and giving back, as opposed to, I love building companies and certain things like that. But this has been such a delight to give back to the federal government.
Jeff, that's just a wonderful perspective. Thank you. Unfortunately, we have reached the top of our hour, so we've run out of time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today. But more importantly, Sally and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country at the Department of Energy.
Albert, thank you so much. And Sally, thank you for the questions, too. I appreciate the time that you've spent with me in discussing some of the important efforts in the Department of Energy. The Department of Energy is a vast and broad organization that can't really be covered in 1 hour, but I would encourage some of your listeners to really take a look at the Department of Energy's website, www.doe.gov. It talks about the rich history, about the interactions of Enrico Fermi, of Oppenheimer, of Einstein, of our 85 Nobel Prize winners, and how they've actually combated the three things that I talked about, the three isms, the communism, the fascism, and terrorism right now. There's no more important issue that we have in energy security, national security, and also American competitiveness. And I'm glad to serve at the pleasure of the President and the Secretary in this nation as a taxpayer and also as a civil servant.
Great. Thank you very much. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Jeff Pond, Chief Human Capital Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. My co-host has been Sally Thomas, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.